As the companions rode their mounts at an easy pace, the sun reached azimuth directly overhead and started to turn the world into a searing crucible. The sparkling sand reflected the heat until it was difficult to see from the reflections, and the salt infused the atmosphere, making it difficult to breathe as every breath tasted of salt and leached moisture from their flesh. Knives were used on spare clothing to form masks, and the companions regularly wet a rag and wiped down the faces of their horses. The animals were starting to heave deeply, near total exhaustion, but until shade was found, there could be no respite. As they walked the horses, Mildred reached into her satchel and pulled out a small leather-bound notebook to jot down the location of the radiation field. The notebook was a recent acquisition, and she often wrote her thoughts into the journal. Someday, when she had the chance, Mildred planned to organize the material to leave behind a sort of legacy for others. Medical knowledge, a true history of the Deathlands and its people, danger zones, etc. Perhaps nobody would ever read her words, but she felt compelled to record her observations. The hours passed under the baking sun, and then cool relief came as a swirl of storm clouds expanded across the sky, blotting out the sun with unnatural speed. Now lightning crashed amid the purple and orange hailstorm above the world, and the companions paused for a terrifying minute as a strong smell of sulfur appeared on the wind. Quickly pulling out the heavy plastic shower curtains taken from the redoubt a few days earlier, the companions braced themselves for an acid rainstorm, but the reek faded away with the dry desert breeze, and they relaxed. Muties and Sekmen could be fought, rad pits avoided, but when the acid rain came, only stone, steel, or heavy plastic could save a person from burns. And if the acid was strong enough, the plastic would be useless. Doc suddenly gasped in delight as he spied a touch of green on the side of a small dune, almost hidden from sight behind a much larger mound. He started to gallop in that direction.
Eureka!
With only his eyes showing through his makeshift mask, Dean scowled.
Trouble? Good news.
Gesturing grandly, Doc cried out in delight.
Behold, ambrosia!
Slowing his horse, Ryan looked over the area, then checked his rad counter just to be sure. In the lee of the rocky dune was a small stand of cactus. Devil fork, they were called, because they resembled a fork with its handle stabbed into the ground. Some barrel cactus was mixed in, but mostly it was all devil fork. The husk of the desert plants was as hard as boot leather and covered with needles that could stab through a canvas glove. Dangerous stuff, but their roots went down for hundreds of feet into the sand, and the delicious pulp inside was like a sponge filled with sweet water.
We're saved! That's more than enough to replace the poison water.
Mildred climbed from her horse to walk to the cactus stand. Pulling out a knife, she debated where would be the best place to start cutting, when a breeze shifted the sand in a small whirlwind and the glint of steel reflected from amid the lush greenery. Gasping in surprise, Mildred found herself staring at the bleached white bones of a human skeleton. Only a few tatters of clothing covered the body, and a scattering of brass cartridges and a homemade blaster made of bound iron pipe and wooden blocks lay near the hand. Leaning forward, Ryan scowled from his horse.
He died fighting. Must have been an animal. Something too big to reach him behind the cactus needles.
Why an animal and not a person?
Ryan pointed to the corpse's belongings.
Of course. Because another person would have taken the rounds afterward. Check.
Doesn't really matter. Chilled is chilled. More importantly, those rounds look intact to me. Might be live.
Any chance they're 44 calibers?
Doc was well stocked with black powder and mini balls for the Lamar, but he was dangerously low on bullets for the Webley.
I'd say those are 45. Sorry, Doc.
The old man shrugged in resignation. As JB started divesting himself of bags and weapons, Mildred walked over to the plants and started to reach between the cacti.
Don't bother, John. I'll get them.
But as she knelt in the sand, there was a whispery sound, and the companions turned to see an incredibly thin figure rise from the desert sand and lurch forward to hurl a spear directly at Mildred.
Oh!
Caught by surprise, the woman didn't react in time, and the metal rod went straight past her, coming so close she could feel the wind of its passage. Then Mildred dove aside and rolled over, drawing her .38 ZKR, when there came a high-pitched keen and the cactus burst apart, writhing green tendrils streaming into view from inside the plant. Moving like uncoiling snakes, the tendrils stabbed for Mildred, and she cut loose with her blaster, just as the rest of the companions did the same. The Devil's Fork screamed even louder as the hail of lead punched a dozen holes through its stalks and branches, one of the tendrils getting blown off the main trunk. Thin pink blood gushed from the wounds, and the mutie went wild, every tendril thrashing about and grabbing for the nearby norms. A horse was caught in the throat by a tendril, its barbed needles embedding deep in the flesh like fish hooks and dragging the screaming animal closer. Doc slashed out with his sword and cut through the ropey tendril, a well of pink ichor gushing from the wound. Another grabbed Jack around the neck, but as it tightened its grip, the tendril fell apart, severed by the razor blades hidden in the camo covering of the teenager's jacket. JB aimed and fired his shotgun as the companions moved away from the bizarre killer, the keening plant jerking as it was hit by another barrage of lead. Then a deafening report split the day, and the main trunk erupted at ground level. The booming echo of the explosion rolling along the dunes like imprisoned thunder. Lowering the smoking barrel of the Holland & Holland Nitro 475 Express, Christie broke the breech, the two spent shells popping out to fall away as she thumbed in two more. Revealed amid the smashed skeleton and torn pieces of the cactus was a pulsating wound of exposed organs, ligaments, and tendons. Ryan fired two more rounds from his Sig Sauer directly down the gullet of the creature, and it went still, the pumping ichor slowing to a mere trickle and then stopping completely. Dean dropped the spent clip from his blaster and slipped in a fresh one.
Another mutie plant!
Animal, not plant.
Jack used a knife to pry away the needle-covered bits of the creature still clinging to his jacket. It reminded him of the hellish, ivy-covered town in Ohio where they nearly lost Christy.
Damn good camouflage.
Mildred shakily reloaded her blaster and pocketed the empty brass for later reloading.
Certainly fooled me into thinking it was merely a plant.
But he knew.
The barrel of Ryan's blaster now aimed rock steady at the stranger wrapped in rags. Doc swung the Lamaze barrel in the same direction. The skinny person did nothing in response to those actions, simply stood there in silence, the dry wind tugging at the tattered ends of its wrappings. JB racked the pump on his shotgun to chamber a fresh round as he stared at the newcomer.
He saved Millie's life with that spear.
Unless he meant to ace her and just missed.
Until proved otherwise, the enemy of my enemy is still my goddamned enemy.
Thumbing back the hammer on her .38 ZKR target pistol, Mildred briefly gave the old man a puzzled look, then returned to the matter at hand. This wasn't the time and place to find out where that paranoid quote had come from. Just then, the horse attacked by the underground mutie fell to its knees and started to shake. Ryan never took his eye off the stranger, but since it was Doc's horse, he rushed over to see what the problem was. As he got close, the scholar could see that the needles of the mutie were still sunk deep into the throat of the horse, red blood flowing from the severed end of the tendril. By the three Kennedys, he thought, the piece of the dead mutie was acting like a tap and draining all of the blood from the horse. Whipping out his eating knife, Doc tried to figure out where to begin trying to remove the needles in the horse's throat when the animal gently lowered its head to the sandy ground as if it were going to sleep, then simply stopped breathing. Almost immediately, the blood ceased to flow onto the salty ground. Standing helpless near the dead beast, Doc blinked moist eyes at the sight for a moment, then drew in a sharp breath and turned away.